Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the midfield goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
And welcome in to another episode of the Hurry Up No Huddle of Daryl, JC, and Moon. And of course, once again, minus the JC and Moon, but plus the Aaron Vargas. Aaron, how are you doing, my good man?
I'm good. I'm doing really well. Glad to be back. Talk a little football, talk a little SEC. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. Really excited here. We are in the Pro Legal Copy Studios of Montgomery. We're not downtown Montgomery, but we're in our secret lair of the PLC Studios, as I would say. But we do have a new sponsor jumping on board, Aaron. I'd like to talk a little bit about them. It's called the Strike Agency of Prattville, Alabama. They're about to sign off on themselves to be, I guess, the more local dealers of insurance in Prattville and the Autauga County area. It's Tyler Strzok and Danny Strzok. These guys know what they're doing. And I can tell you one thing. I'm glad they jumped on board. They're going to start throwing some monies our way.
Oh, boy.
I guess more so my way, but...
Making it... Wait, am I getting paid for this?
Well, you know,
all right,
I might.
I'm gone.
I might throw her. But, Aaron, I want to jump in. It's not going to be an incredibly too long show. Of course,
yeah.
We don't have the JC and Moon. I feel like one day that we need to have a show with you on with JC and Moon so you can experience the full...
Throw a real party.
Hurry up, no huddle, Daryl, JC, and Moon.
Okay.
And, you know, I got a feeling like it, you know, it's going to be pretty good. But I want to lead into a segment that I call the For Real segment, okay? Aaron, are you being for real? Like, I don't know, but I want to get into it, okay, talking about the SEC standings in the Eastern Conference and then also the Western Conference. But first, I want to start with the Eastern Conference just because it's so, I guess, mismatched with different teams up and down, especially after Florida and Alabama played. Really what I want to ask you and get your opinion on, I know – I want to share with the audience, people who are actually listening, that you are a Tennessee man. I'm an Auburn man, but then again, more so of a Louisville man. That has nothing to do with the SEC, so we're not going to bring that up again. But we're talking...
Sweep that under the rug.
We're going to talk about the Eastern Conference and the SEC. Staying right now, I'm going to go through the SEC standings in the Eastern Conference, kind of throw that out there as we start... So starting off, South Carolina, they're 2-1, 3-1 overall, 2-1 in the SEC. Florida 1-1. Of course, their only loss is to the Crimson Tide this past weekend, which got out of hand in the second
half. Rough second half.
I want to say, but Florida 2-1 overall. We now have Missouri. They haven't played an SEC game, but they will very shortly. We'll talk about that later on. But Missouri 3-1 overall. Tennessee 0, you know 0-0. They haven't played a game in the SEC as well. 2-1, only loss to the Sooners of I guess Bob Stoops really just leading out there and getting them. I think last time we did a show, I think I picked Tennessee on some points on that and got burned. But I felt good on Tennessee.
Teach you to be faithful to Tennessee.
Okay, I don't want to hear that. Okay, but moving from Tennessee, we're going to Georgia, which. It's surprising at this point in the season because a lot of people thought South Carolina and Georgia might be flip-flopped at the top at this point.
Yeah.
But Georgia 0-1, 2-1 overall. You have Kentucky, surprisingly, you know, not last, but they are 0-1, 2-1 overall. And Vanderbilt, God bless her soul.
Vandy. Anchor down.
You know, quickly, thoughts on Vanderbilt real quick.
When does baseball season start? You know, it's Vanderbilt. They look better last week against South Carolina. They did look better, but they lost to Temple to open up the season. They got pounded by Ole Miss. Is it Mason? Coach Mason, the new guy in his first year?
Yeah, Jump Mason from Stanford. He was a defensive coordinator there.
Yep, there you go.
Derek Mason.
With Coach Franklin out of there and Mason now in there. I mean, He's got a tough go of it. I mean, that's just a program that it hasn't been good. And when you try to match them up against other teams in the SEC, it gets ugly. Like we saw
now,
with Ole Miss, who's better, but still not one of the top teams. So,
hey, Temple took them outside of the woodshed. I'll say
they
that
did.
It was bad.
They did, Uncle.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those games that was real late. It was on the SEC Network, and I was listening. I think it was Dario Noko. He was sitting back talking about how frustrated he was because, you know, he does all the SEC Now stuff, and he does it with, I guess, various different guests, but he's the one that heads it up. He literally, he was on Feinbaum's show the other day. He was in the studio till like 6 o'clock in the morning because that game was so bad and lasted so long that Vanderbilt couldn't do anything. Just really frustrating for him, but I feel him on that.
Yeah.
I feel him that. But, all right, going through, Aaron, I want you to, of course, you know, you have the same sheet I'm looking at.
Yep.
I want you to look at it. I want you to tell me, going forward, what do you think is going to happen in the East? And I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on Florida.
It goes, it's two teams to me, two teams that jump out, but we'll kind of weed through them first. You've got a couple of teams that are in the same kind of boat. There's Tennessee and Kentucky. There's two teams that are, they're better. They're improving. Butch Jones has the Volunteers going in the right direction. But like we saw when they played Oklahoma, they're not there yet. They're not ready. Kentucky is getting better. They've got some weapons. They've got some weapons offensively. They're going in the right direction. They went into the swamp. They gave the Gators everything they wanted. But again, Kentucky is
granted,
not right there.
Granted, they got cheated out of that game.
I'm not going to say they got cheated.
They got
still
cheated
got an
that game.
In
they should have won that game.
Listen, the ball was being snapped around when the clock showed zero.
Okay, well, I hope those guys got fired for that. But anyways,
trying to fire somebody on a technicality.
I fire them, whatever.
So I put Tennessee and Kentucky in the same boat. They're better. The programs are going in the right direction. Not there yet. Then a little bit above them is Florida. You know, the awful 4-8 last year. Much better this year. But Driscoll, I said at the start of the year, he looked comfortable in the new offense. Against Alabama, he didn't really look comfortable. And it was really the first time they played a defense that is worth something. Florida is definitely better than last year. There's no way they finished under 500 this year, but they're not there yet either. Missouri, I like Matty Mock. I'm a Matty Mock fan. But
I love Matty Mock.
Indiana, they lost to Indiana at home.
Hey,
31-27.
Hey, Scott Van Pelt. His winners of the week, he picked Indiana on the points on that. Couldn't believe it this past Friday. Well, you know, I'm watching the game. Indiana just scoring points like I've never seen it before on that SEC defense.
Yeah. So, Missouri with Indiana played well. Credit to them. They played really well. But come on, man. It's Indiana. It's a Big Ten.
Come
Don't
on,
lose.
Man.
Don't lose. Exactly. On. Chris Carter. Come on, man. Don't lose to Indiana. So, Missouri's out. So, it comes down to two. It comes down for me to South Carolina. And it comes down to Georgia. Now, remember, South Carolina beat Georgia. They played out South Carolina. That's a big game. And early on, I was down on South Carolina. They get blasted by A&M. They lose to East Carolina, but Texas A&M is a legitimate team. And that's a big-time offense. East Carolina is actually a pretty good team.
Hey, Eastern Carolina put up 70 on North Carolina.
There you go. I mean,
yeah, look at that. Hey, I picked them in my pick'ems on that. I'll let you know.
You're like top 100 in the country right now.
I was at one point tied for 17th.
So I really think it's going to come back to that loss that Georgia got beat by South Carolina at home, because when you look at the schedule, South Carolina, they have Auburn on the road, they've got Florida on the road, then they got Missouri at home and Tennessee at home. So those two home games for South Carolina have as wins. The Auburn and Florida games both on the road, I have those as maybes. On the Georgia side, you've got Tennessee at home, Vandy at home, Florida at home, all wins. You got Missouri on the road. I have that as a win. Kentucky on the road is a win. Then you have Arkansas on the road, which Arkansas is a pretty good football team. And then you have Auburn at home for Georgia. So you've got two maybes on Georgia's side. You've got two maybes on South Carolina's side. And I really see them having an equal record down the stretch. So my pick, going back to that win for South Carolina over Georgia for the tiebreaker, I've got South Carolina winning the East.
Whoa. So you've got Steve Spurrier coming into the East to face the West champion once again, the SEC championship, which in my opinion, we'll get to it later about the West. But looking at it overall, Aaron, I see where you're coming, but I think you're leaving Matty Mock out of the picture a little bit in Missouri. Now, I look at their defense. You know, I see some key losses. Michael Sam, you can say whatever you want about the guy, but he was a monster last year in the SEC, rushing off the edge, and he gave him a lot of presence, especially in the SEC championship game. You know, I was sitting in the end zone, so I saw firsthand Michael Sam and that defense to really affect Trey Mason and those guys running for Auburn. But it's when I sit back and look, I don't know why. I have no idea why I'm so high on Tennessee this year.
I don't either.
And like, no idea. It's not like I'm saying they're going to win. You know, Tennessee's not going to win these. Okay, but Butch Jones, I'm not kidding. Tennessee. Let's look at the past years. Okay, you had Kiffin. Mm-hmm. He leaves there. You get Dooley. Which, granted, I love Dooley.
I like Dooley too.
I thought he dressed well.
Genuine guy, really good dresser.
Yeah, he was a fantastic guy. And, you know, I hate seeing guys that are just generally great guys not succeed. Because I feel like those guys deserve to win and deserve to keep their job. But something about Dooley, he just couldn't do it at the end. But going to Butch Jones, what he's doing, I guess, on the recruiting area.
Yeah.
That guy's, Tennessee, Aaron, even when Tennessee is bad, bad, they can still get top 10 recruiting-wise, and that's pretty impressive in itself. But Butch Jones has him years. I think Butch Jones has him about 2 years ahead of schedule right now, running in the SEC East and then hold a picture of SEC. You know, I see Tennessee in the next 2 years being the championship game, at least contending. I'm not saying they're going to win it. But I think Tennessee's going to make that just a drastic jump like Auburn did after that 3-9 season. Tennessee's got talent. It's young talent, but you're going to see him make a huge jump, in my opinion, up to an SEC championship title contender. But, of course, I don't have Tennessee winning it. But right now, they're 2-1. They haven't played an SEC game yet. We'll see them contend in the SEC. I'm going back to my original pick on this season. No, I'm not going to pull Doug Amos, okay? I'm not going to go for the Hail Mary and give Florida, okay? I'm not going to give Florida the nod.
Okay.
Okay, Florida's not getting the nod because...
You going to ride Matty Mock?
I'm not going to ride Matty Mock.
Okay.
But I can tell you what I'm going to do. Missouri's going to finish second in the SEC, I think.
Okay.
Because that Missouri-South Carolina game is going to be a real big game coming up, and I'm going to pick Missouri in that game. But Georgia's going to rise to the top, okay? Hudson Mason, this guy... off the radar, of course, because he's a senior coming. I believe he's a fifth-year senior. Mm-hmm. He's waited his time. He's actually really good, and people don't give him due credit.
Yeah.
Hudson Mason, Georgia, Todd Gurley, and that backfield. What happened to Keith Marshall? He's non-existent. He's literally non-existent. Yeah. I had him when I co-hosted with Charlie Trotman for one of our shows.
Yeah.
I said, Charlie, I don't know where Keith Marshall is, but this guy – a year ago, before he got hurt, I was comparing Gurley and Marshall to Cadillac and Ronnie. I mean, I was putting them on that level. That's an impressive level
that
in itself to put backs on. Keith Marshall, I don't think I've seen the guy take a handoff this year. And that says something about Georgia's backfield and about their depth that they have right now.
So you're going with Georgia?
I'm going Georgia in the East. There's no doubt. I think Mark Richt gets to it. And don't be surprised if Georgia makes it to the Final Four. I'm not kidding. I think they're that deep.
So you're saying...
Minus injuries.
So Georgia doesn't have another loss in the SEC.
I don't think they do.
So who do you have South Carolina losing to? You got Auburn, Florida, Missouri.
I got South Carolina losing to Missouri.
You love Matty Mock. You love UC Matty Mock.
Well, I'll rest my case here. Matty Mock, all-time leader in passing in high school.
High school?
Yeah, but high school transcends
to the SEC?
Yeah, absolutely.
To the SEC?
Dude, he's the all-time national leader in passing and touchdowns and in passing efficiency. He's in everything. He owns every category as a quarterback in high school.
In high school?
Dude, it doesn't matter. This guy came up behind Franklin.
Middle linebackers are my size in high school. If you never see me, I'm not a real big guy. That's
Aaron, I think you're taking a little bit away from yourself right now. No, but okay. I'm calling Missouri beat South Carolina.
Okay.
Okay. I'm calling Georgia wins it. I don't care. I don't care. I've already said I don't care if Missouri lost to Indiana. Okay, Indiana
not a good team.
Hey, Indiana puts up points. That's what Scott Van Pelt said. I'm taking Indiana. That's coming. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'll take Indiana this week on the real though. But anyways, I have Georgia winning the East, and we'll get to our West in the next segment. But I got Georgia winning the East. Okay, I have Missouri finished second. South Carolina, I think that middle of the road schedule in the SEC East, and I think it's each team plays two from each conference. So I haven't. Let's see what South Carolina plays. They play. Okay, they got Auburn, and they got coming up Missouri, Georgia. Okay, so they play Missouri on September Well, shoot, they play Missouri this coming weekend. So South Carolina, Missouri, obviously I picked Missouri in that one. But
right.
I think going forward, if we're going to look at last year's game compared to this year's, I think Missouri is actually better with Matty Mock at the helm. Losing those guys off the edge for Missouri, I don't think affects them too much, because if you look in recruiting overall, Missouri's done well in the 3-star to 4-star range. No right. 5 stars other than Beckham at wideout, who, you know, isn't there anymore yeah. because he likes some, I guess, off-field activities. But he's at Oklahoma now.
He'll fit in well in the NFL.
Seriously, he'll literally play 1 year at Oklahoma, and then he'll be in the NFL, and he'll be the next Calvin Johnson out there. He's that good. But going forward, I got Georgia winning it.
Okay, yeah, Georgia.
We'll come back to the West, and I'm really interested. I want to make a few points. I want to see where you stand.
Okay.
On the SEC West, and you might be a little surprised, but then again, Georgia at the top, Missouri second, South Carolina third. And whoever else you want to fall behind, I might be crazy. Yeah, I might be crazy and say Tennessee over Florida on that, because Florida's all they got is defense.
Yeah,
let's just be honest; they're strong defensively.
Not that much of that.
They're strong defensively, but let's say against Alabama, they're strong defensively on that front. Mm. When Lane Kiffin only gives Sims 5-yard dump off passes, okay?
Yeah.
If that says anything, I think if a team come in and play Nick Marshall or somebody that's going to throw the ball 25 yards down the field, or Manny Mock that might even maybe air out about 50 yards downfield. Who knows? But going up against that, we'll come back with a Western Conference, and we'll go over their schedule. We'll look into it. We'll get Aaron's insight. You're listening to the Hurry Up No Huddle of Daryl, JC, and Moon.
Hey there, this is Brian with Pro Legal Copies of Montgomery. We have proudly been serving the Tri-County community for over 12 years with their legal copying and litigation needs. We're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, but we'll work for you at your convenience. Our services include professional copying and scanning, blow-ups, posters, CDs and DVD processing, business cards, legal briefs, and much more. So call us here at Pro Legal at 263-0108. We're located at 134 High Street, downtown Montgomery, which is catty-corner to the library. Ask for Brian and hear about our new specials changing every month. Don't miss out. Free pickup and delivery, family owned.
Welcome back to the Hurry Up No Huddle with Daryl, JC, and Moon, with Aaron Vargas tonight, minus the JC and Moon, as we've already discussed. Aaron, we've already gone over the SEC Eastern Conference overall standings and given our opinion on that. Now I want to take a look into the Western Conference, and let's start with you about what your opinion overall in the Western Conference is going to end up.
This was really, really hard for me, because the Western Conference is unbelievably good. There's so many teams in the West that have a legitimate shot.
Okay.
Kind of like we started with the East, I'll start weeding through. Ole Miss and Arkansas. Ole Miss is good. They've gotten a lot better. I like Arkansas, too. They put up a ton of points lately, 101 points in the last couple of weeks. I know they haven't played
good Aaron, defenses. Are you jumping on the hog wagon?
No.
I'm just saying
they're better. Going in the right direction, like we talked about with Tennessee and with Florida, that sort of thing, with Kentucky, but
okay,
definitely not there. So not Ole Miss, not Arkansas. Mississippi State showed me something. Going into Death Valley, taking down the Tigers in Les Miles, Daktronics, whatever that guy's name is, he's got some skills. And Mississippi State is going to play a role in the West. They're not going to win it, but they're going to play a role in the West, because they're going to push some people. Dak Prescott, and that guy, he's good.
New York as of right now.
No question about it. He's got some skills. LSU, they're very young. They don't really have a quarterback that I think can lead in that way. The defense isn't really quite the dominating defense that it normally is. So those four teams are out, and it comes down to Texas A&M, Alabama and Auburn, the top three teams in the West, in my opinion. And it was tough. I had to sit here and really kind of grind through this mentally to try to figure out which one of these three teams. Because honestly, any three of these teams can win it. Those are the three teams that have a legitimate shot.
But the question is, who are your winners?
I know. I'm getting there.
It's
called the build-up. It's like, you ever listen to dubstep, the drop?
Absolutely. I'm just saying. I'm a little antsy.
It's dubstep. Leads up to the drop. I'll start with Auburn.
Okay.
I like Auburn. Gus Malzahn, offensive mastermind. I just don't see it as much this year. That Kansas State game, the offense struggled to get going a little bit. They got the win.
I mean, literally no running game almost.
Yeah, and that's an issue for me. It's one game, so it's tough for me to lean on one game and say, okay, the offense doesn't have it. But it's a little bit of a question mark for me. They've got LSU next week. They have to go to Mississippi State, which we've already talked about.
Stark Vegas. Yeah. It's a tough place to play.
They've got Texas A&M, which is going to be at home, though. They go to Georgia, and then in the Iron Bowl, they go to Tuscaloosa.
Hey, to Vaught Hemingway to play Ole Miss.
There you go.
So it's another tough one.
They have a really, really tough schedule, so I think the schedule is going to play against them. I don't think the offense is quite as there. And remember, everybody's circling Auburn now. They're not going to sneak up on anybody.
Right.
So cross Auburn off that list. Sorry. Apologies.
I'm not upset.
Auburn off the list. So it's down to Texas.
I'm more of a Louisville fan. I'm just kidding.
Whoever's winning more, that's right.
Yeah, you know, it's whatever. Bobby, Gus.
So it comes down to A&M and Alabama. And for A&M, again, you look at that schedule and where they have to play, they have a brutal schedule. They're on the road against Mississippi State, on the road against Alabama, on the road against Auburn. Then in the last game of the year, they play LSU. We talked about, I've been down on LSU. They're a young team. But you get it to the end of the season against LSU. There's a lot of time.
In College Station, too.
Okay, it's a good point there. In College Station. But the big thing there is it's the last game of the year. A young team, freshman at the start of the year, 11 games in, can basically be sophomore.
Yeah,
so I think
absolutely.
The youth of that team, of LSU's team, is going to start to mature a little bit. That's going to be a really tough game at the end of the year for A&M. One loss, maybe two losses. It may actually come down to a tiebreaker with Alabama. So I don't like Alabama. I'm going to go ahead and say it. But I'm going to go with Alabama winning the West. This is a team that is not – the defense is not as dominant. Coker showed some definite ability. I don't know he's a huge guy. I'm telling you, he's got some ability. You have to give it to him. He's got
Blake
some ability.
Blake Sims is a starting quarterback. I guess barging injury of him not sliding towards when he breaks out. But one thing I want you to highlight.
Yeah.
Okay. October 18th, Alabama and Texas A&M at games in Tuscaloosa. Of course, we all remember last time what happened was in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel football. Happened. That's
and
exactly
I think
what
that
happened.
Is going to be the game. I think Alabama wins that game. But the winner of that game, to me, wins the West. Because those are the two teams. Like I said, Auburn's in the mix as well. Auburn has a legitimate chance there. But to me, that game, Alabama, A&M, what's the date on that?
That's October 18th in Tuscaloosa.
October 18th in Tuscaloosa. The winner of that game, to me, wins the West. And I think it's going to be Alabama.
Okay. Now, I do respect your opinion, as always. But I will say, we'll start with Auburn. It only seems fit last year what happened coming in this year. I'm going to say Auburn's going to lose to Georgia.
Okay.
Because I got Georgia winning the East. I think Georgia's that talented. I think they're that good. Auburn's going to play Georgia on the road. And then after that, guess what? They got to go to Tuscaloosa and play too. And it's just how it worked out with adding A&M and Missouri into the SEC. That's just what happened with the scheduling. It's going to be fixed going forward. But Auburn's got to play those two games on the road. Auburn's going to lose to Georgia, and I think that game between Alabama and Auburn will again decide the SEC West and who plays in the, the SEC Championship. That's for the West and the East coming in. But Georgia, I think they're going to beat Auburn on the. Georgia at home. Auburn's going to go on the road. I think they're going to lose once again to Athens because Auburn just can't win on the road in Athens. It's unrealistic how bad Auburn has been in Athens. Over the years, I mean, I think back to the Brandon Cox years of some very, very troubling and desperate years for the Auburn Tigers. And Brandon Cox, in his own, was a fantastic quarterback and probably one of the best lefties in the SEC that I can remember playing. maybe other than Jaren Lorenzen, maybe him, but Brandon Cox, he did good, but he couldn't win in Athens, and not many Auburn quarterbacks can. That's a trouble game. Auburn loses in Georgia. Okay, they're going to go to Athens and lose. They're going to beat Alabama. I see them in there. Let's take it overall, though.
Okay.
One question I want to ask you. Mississippi State. Is Dan Mullen, Dak Prescott, and the Bulldogs for real, going into this season, are they, I guess, a legit contender in the West? Or are they just on the outside, you know, I guess four games into them for them. They've looked impressive. Southern Miss, we don't even need to talk about that. By God, was that a blowout?
Yeah.
But going into Mississippi State beating LSU on the road, that doesn't happen, okay?
No, it doesn't.
Les Miles has only lost two games at home like that within the SEC conference. Before that, he's lost three, and that was the biggest loss he's had.
Yeah.
As a team coming to LSU in the SEC playing them, that was a big win. That was a big statement. And beforehand, I had Dak Prescott going to New York. Okay, mm-hmm. I had him finishing around a fourth, fifth, depending on how many they took this past year. But Prescott, Mullen, I might be a believer now, and I might be a believer over Auburn. If Mississippi State beats Auburn this year, mm-hmm. don't be surprised to see him in the West. And that hurts me to say that, but that is crazy. Think about how far they've come. If Dak Prescott can take him to the promised land, you know, what's the ceiling for Mississippi State and the Bulldogs this year?
Like we touched on a little bit earlier, Mississippi State is going to play a role in the West. I don't think because they're going to be one of the contenders to win the West, but because they're going to upset somebody. Here's the deal with college. When you talk about the NFL and you talk about preparation, there's not many NFL guys who are going to lay back and not really prepare as well, even though you're playing the Bucks, you're playing the Jaguars. But in college, you have the issues with college kids, 18, 19, or 20-year-old kids, who sometimes will take a step back and maybe not focus as much, maybe not prepare as much.
Well, you know, they're in college.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. It's mm-hmm. it's college. Against Mississippi State, that could have happened down the road. But when you go into LSU, when you go into Baton Rouge, into Death Valley, you beat Les Miles and the Tigers.
Let's just not say beat. They dominated that
game. They dominated. And LSU came back at the end, but really that game was all Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in that, because they won that game, not just winning it, but because of how they won that game, nobody is looking past Mississippi State anymore. I don't think there's anybody that's looking at the 4-0 next to Mississippi State's record and saying, okay, that's just a fluke. This is a good football team. So now all of a sudden when you go into Death Valley, you take down the Bayou Bengals on their turf. Now everybody is saying, okay, we've got to get ready for Mississippi State. LSU can't stop Dak Prescott. We're going to struggle to stop Dak Prescott. So because of that win at LSU, it puts them on the map. Because of that, teams are ready for them. Mm-hmm. I still think they may have another upset down the road. I don't think they're quite to the point yet where they're going to contend for the West Championship, but they're definitely going to play a role.
I want you to look at one thing, okay? A&M and Arkansas play this weekend. Mississippi State bye week. Following week after that is Texas A&M and Mississippi State. I think that game right there can tell a lot within the West.
No question.
You know, I think you made a point just a second ago about saying people aren't overlooking Mississippi State. I think people still are, okay? I look at this overall, Mississippi State's fifth in the West, mm-hmm. okay? I think by just the overall look of that, they're like, okay, you know, State got a win here. You know, they beat LSU. It's impressive. So what? You know, going forward in the schedule, Mississippi State, I want to read off their schedule, okay? Bye week. They play Texas A&M in Starkville, okay? Stark Vegas, that's a big game. Auburn, Stark Vegas. Another bye week. Then they go to Lexington, play Kentucky. You know, whatever. They're going to have fun down there. I say that in the Bluegrass State. Arkansas, guess where? Stark Vegas, okay? And then they play UT Martin, Stark Vegas, Alabama in Tuscaloosa. That's going to be a turning point, okay? If Mississippi State can I feel like that I'm on some type of drug right now saying that Mississippi State could possibly be undefeated going into the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa. That's going to say a lot. But that Bama game and the Ole Miss game in Oxford, those two games on the road, I think those are the biggest games they have left because the rest of the games they have that are actually meaningful are in Stark Vegas, and that right there gives them a huge advantage.
Yeah.
So I tell you, those cowbells, firsthand. I've seen it. 2010.
More cowbell.
Is unreal the advantage they have with those cowbells.
Yeah.
I see Mississippi State going up and beyond, and that West Division is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I think that West Division could play in the NFL right now.
Whoa.
I'm saying the weakest division. Let's look at the weakest division overall. That West Division could contend.
You're one of those people.
I'm one of those people. I'm not saying I'm on the Cowherd level of, like, defending the NFL on this, but I'm saying that I think there's about three, I'm not going to say four, three, maybe four teams in the West that could contend somewhat sort of in the NFL.
The NFL are grown men.
I understand that.
Even the Jaguars and the Bucks, as terrible as they are, as hard as they are to watch,
I think Alabama would beat the Bucks right now.
No, I know how bad the Bucks
I think
are.
Auburn might even beat the Bucks right now.
No, the NFL is...
You're telling me that you don't think Auburn would have a chance against
no.
the Tampa Bay Bucks?
No.
Okay, well, Doug Martin's sideline in my fantasy teams is the story of my life.
That's what bitterness is swaying your opinion right now.
Oh, you know, Bobby Rainey's, you know, he's been toting the rock. Doug Martin comes back. I don't know what to think. I can tell you that. I don't know who to start. Is it Doug? He's on the bench. Bobby Rainey. If you have an opinion, you can let us know. I need to know before Sunday. That's going to be a very important judgment call on myself. But Aaron, coming back in the next segment, it's entitled The Moonlight Stone Cold Picks of the Week, and that's sponsored by the Strike Agency. We'll be right back on the Hurry Up No Huddle of Daryl, JC, and Moon. Welcome back in the Hurry Up No Huddle. Daryl, JC, and Moon, minus JC and Moon, plus Aaron Vargas this evening. Aaron,
that's my jam, by the way.
Yeah, I know it is. That's why I played it coming forward. But it's time for the Moonlight Stone Cold Picks, sponsored by the Strike Agency. I want to go into here. We both have the same sheet looking at. Let's look at Louisiana Tech and Auburn, minus 34. Is the spread on that? Who do you have in that, Aaron?
I've got Auburn, and I think they will cover. They're a team that had that incredible stretch. I don't know how many games it was where they covered. Did they cover last week?
Absolutely not. I picked them last week and lost.
Okay. Not bitter about it at all.
No, I'm not bitter at all. I'm just going to say they didn't cover. They covered the past, I think, 13 straight games. 14 straight games.
Well, they'll go 14 out of 15 then. They're going to cover against Louisiana Tech. I know I've been
34.
I'll say it's a lot of points, and I've been critical of Auburn's offense, but I'm going to give some credit to Gus Malzahn. I'll give some credit to that offense.
What's your thought of Rock Thomas, true freshman in this game, probably getting late snap carries for Auburn fans listening to this show? What do you think Rock Thomas is going to do? 4- and 5-star coming in. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you're looking at a Louisiana Tech defense that isn't really skilled to the point that they're going to match up against SEC defenses. So I think he's going to show out a little bit at the tail end of that game.
Okay, I like that. Let's move to Arkansas and Texas A&M. A&M, a 14-point favorite in this game. What's your outlook on it?
I like A&M to win this game.
Ooh.
I don't know by 2 touchdowns, though.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to cover in this game. They're going to beat the Razorbacks. But by 2 touchdowns, I'm not going with that. I'm going to run away from that spread.
Okay, so what do you have on it? Do you have a minus 14? You have a plus 14 Arkansas?
I'm trying to think. I've got A&M. They'll win by probably a touchdown. I'm giving them a touchdown. So Texas A&M, we'll give them minus 7.
Okay. Well, I'm taking Arkansas since we're going against the spread.
Oh.
I'm taking Arkansas plus 14. I don't think they'll win the game, but I don't think Texas A&M wins by minus 14 on that Vegas line right there. So smart move on mine. Maybe Colin Cowherd or SVP have the same pick. I don't know, but I'm picking Arkansas plus 14 against the spread that has A&M minus 14. Let's move to Memphis and Ole Miss. It looks like the Rebels minus 23 against the Tigers of Memphis. What's your pick on that, Aaron?
Memphis has showed some ability this year. 23 points is a lot. But like we talked about earlier, Ole Miss, they are going the right direction. This
Bo
is a,
Wallace.
This is a good, exactly. This is a Unreal. Good football team. I've got them winning, and I've got them covering. I'll take Ole Miss minus 23.
Absolutely. I'll take Bo Wallace. I won't take Ole Miss. I'll take Bo Wallace minus 23 on here. If Wallace can limit his turnovers, I said last year, if Wallace can limit the interceptions and limit the, overall mental mistakes that he has going towards, he's literally probably the top quarterback in the SEC. Maybe not transcend to the SEC, or you know, I guess the NFL is what I'm trying to say. But Bo Wallace, passing efficiency, leads the SEC right now. And no surprise, Bo Wallace, great quarterback. Let's move to the next game. Kentucky favored minus 15 over the Commodores of Vanderbilt. And I should even ask you who you favor in this one, but I guess what's your thoughts on this, Aaron?
Vanderbilt has such a good baseball team. They
they really do. Grayson Garvin of the Biscuits.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we're talking
about. Former Biscuit. Maybe back next year. We'll see.
He's going to be back. I like him.
Yeah, I think so. I think he will too. But Kentucky, like I said, they've got some weapons this year. This is not the old Wildcat team that you can just say, okay, whatever, it's Kentucky. They've got some skills, especially offensively. Vanderbilt, we've talked about it. It's been documented. This is a team that's in shambles right now. It's Kentucky minus 15. Wildcats win, Wildcats cover.
Okay, I feel on that. I've heard people say that Faulkner University would beat Vanderbilt right now. But I'm saying Kentucky minus one playmaker and Kalen Winslow from Prattville High School. Minus that, I'm taking Vanderbilt plus 15 in this wild game. Yeah. Vanderbilt's not
Anchor
winning
down.
This game.
Anchor
okay.
down.
Vanderbilt's not winning this game, but they're putting up a fight, okay? I don't think that team's laying over 100%. I think Derek Mason's got them fighting to a certain extent, but talent can only take you so far, and their talent's not very high. Let's move to the next game. We're looking at Mizzou and South Carolina. As we discussed, this is a big game. South Carolina minus 6 in the Vegas scoreboard over Mizzou. Aaron, your input.
You're giddy right now because you're just so excited to talk about Matty Mock. You can't help yourself.
I want to talk
right
about
now.
Winners, okay? Winners.
The winner in this game is South Carolina. I'm taking the game, Cox. They will cover at minus 6. They'll win by a touchdown. That one a little bit closer to South Carolina's going to win. I don't have a whole lot of doubt. Covering, I have a little bit of a doubt. It may be a field goal type game, but I'll go with South Carolina in this one. Like I said, I've got the Gamecocks winning the East. It's going to be tight. It's going to be close, but I cannot get over Mizzou losing to Indiana at home. I can't get over it. I'm sorry.
Well, I think you're underrating Indiana Hoosiers right now.
It's a big 10.
I'm going to look at South Carolina, Dylan Thompson. I was high on the beginning of the season. Of course, I picked Georgia, and I think Georgia will jump up in that East competition. But looking at Matty Mock, I can't leave this guy down. Okay, what happened last year? This guy is a baller. On top of that, he's a
Shot
footballer.
Caller.
Yeah, exactly. He's actually a footballer, if you want to go into. Okay, Matty Mock leads his team on taking Missouri plus 6. Missouri wins this game going against South Carolina. South Carolina, yeah, I think Vegas got this wrong. If you're going to give it to him, give South Carolina minus 3.5, maybe 3, around that range.
I agree with that.
I think minus 6 is a little bit too much in this game
okay.
against Missouri, but I'm taking Missouri plus 6 since it's such a wide-open line right here. So, that's like free money, okay? You go ahead and take this pick from Daryl Puckett, Missouri plus 6. You're winning money this week in Vegas.
It's Big 10. Indiana Big 10. Come on.
Yeah, it's whatever you want to look. Next game, your Volunteers against the Bulldogs of Georgia.
Big Orange.
Georgia looking at minus 19 against the Volunteers in Athens. What's your output on that?
Listen, I'm a Volunteer fan. All right.
I
you go to
that.
Knoxville, you're going to find some fans that are just unreasonable and illogical. I remember, was it last
year?
Every
fan base.
I guess I've been around it more. I remember when Tennessee, I think it was 7-3, they were leading Oregon in the first quarter, and I was looking at tweets from all my friends at home
Absolutely.
Saying, oh, Tennessee's back, you know, the Volunteers are back at it, national championship, and then
Butch
two possessions
Jones,
later.
My man.
They're, yeah, Butch Jones. But,
that's a good song.
I'm a reasonable Tennessee fan, and I'm with you that this is a team. They have some playmakers. I think Georgia minus 19, that's a little steep.
Yeah,
Georgia's going to win. Georgia's going to win. I've got the Bulldogs in this game, but minus 19, That's a big spread.
I'm thinking more realistic because I'm a real – I guess you call me a realism, okay? I'm more of a guy that looks at a realistic side. Georgia maybe 10.5, so somewhere 10, 10.5, something like that. I see Georgia in this game. But minus 19, I mean, I feel like Vegas is trying to steal money from people right now, putting this line out. Georgia's not going to win. I'm not going to say by that much, but I think it's a little steep depending on how far this Tennessee teams has come. Especially on defense. I think defensively, they've come a long way now. Have they put four quarters of game to actual use? No. But I think in this game, I think they're going to keep gradually getting better to where eventually towards the end of the season, they're going to have four quarters of solid defense. And I think that offense is going to be able to put enough points on the board. Jalen Hurd, true freshman halfback, I think that guy's going to get going. He's skinny, tall guy, but I feel like he's a really good halfback. I mean, you know, he's not a five-star for no reason, missing his entire senior season. I think to a leg injury, Jalen Hurd, five-star. He finished at number 32, five-star in the Rivals rankings. But this guy leading the Volunteers in the rushing game, I look at him pretty solid this year. But Georgia, minus 19 is too much. I'm taking Tennessee plus 19. What's your opinion on it?
Yeah, I've got you there. Tennessee plus 19, I'm with you on that one. Tennessee has improved. They're better. They're not a bad football team anymore. They're not. I don't think they're really a threat to beat Georgia. But 19-point spread, that's pretty big.
All right, quickly, LSU, this is pretty pathetic. But when we look at Harris and Jennings, starting quarterback, who's going to be LSU minus 45 over New Mexico State. This game, a little blown out. LSU's going to win by 45. I'll take them with the points. What's your opinion with Harris and Jennings moving forward? I want you to comment on those two quarterbacks as well.
LSU is a team that I feel like if they ever have a quarterback that – it's not even that has to excel, but that can make a few plays every now and then.
I mean, it's like the Ryan Perilou days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if they had a quarterback that every now and then, not even every time. I know I'm looking for a Peyton Manning. I'm not looking for somebody who can drive it down the field with 40 seconds.
You're looking for a Cody Burns almost.
Yeah, exactly. Just somebody who won't turn it over, every now and then can make a throw. And with the defense that LSU puts out on the field, they would contend for national championships. But I know Jennings is young. I know he's a young guy. But the quarterback
situation. I
think
it's time for him to go in the slot, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Just find an athlete and put him out in the slot. Find a quarterback, please. Find a quarterback. Les Miles, 45 points is a lot. If they cover, I think it'll be close for them covering. But LSU, I know Mettenberger last year, he's in the NFL now. They just have to find a quarterback that can every now and then make plays. Because the football now, not even just in college, even in the NFL, it's not about let's ground and pound, let's run the football, control the clock, and play defense. That's not the way it is anymore. It's spread it out. Let's throw it more. Even some spread teams run the football more, but it's spread it out. It's not just form up in the eye, we're going to punch you in the mouth. LSU needs to find a quarterback to lead the team to the national championship.
You know, I think when you look at that, you look at Lane Kiffin in Alabama, what Kiffin's doing with Blake Sims, you don't have to be able to pass the ball 15 yards downfield. If you can read the defense, I guess to a certain extent to where you can make reads off and off, you got three reads. If you make down a halfback or to a screen or to, you know, to a receiver coming in, it's not a big deal.
Put an athlete in space, and LSU has no problems finding athletes.
I think LSU might have the most athletes overall. Because every year, you look at Rivals, look at 24/7, it doesn't matter who you look at. LSU recruits the most athletes every single year. These guys can play anywhere.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, they had 12 guys going into the NFL draft. I mean, it's just find an athlete, put him in space, let him do his thing.
Winners!
And it's winners. Just find winners. LSU finds winners. But that's what it's – and they just can't find a guy to get the athletes the ball, and it blows my mind. I mean,
makes me angry.
Miles, it does.
Makes me
angry. I get
angry
right now. I just want to
eat all the
something.
Grass you want. Just get your athletes in space.
I know.
And put them in the right positions. You have them.
I don't understand it. I do not understand Les Miles.
Leonard Fournette, just let him tote the rock right now. He's going to take you to the end zone every time.
It's so true. I don't understand with all the athletes LSU gets – for some reason, they just can't get a quarterback that can kind of get the job done to the point they can compete for a national championship. It blows my mind.
Absolutely. Brandon Harris going for LSU. I think he's the best suit they have right now. And building on the years, if you look in the past, LSU's always have a guy that comes in around the junior year maybe. Yeah. And he's got 2 years to play if he doesn't leave. Most of the time, LSU quarterbacks aren't that good. So, no. So they stay for the 2 years. But Brandon Harris, this guy has time to build. And that's why I'm looking at it for LSU. If they can get the right players, because they got them. They have them on campus. They have them on that 100-man roster. They're there. Let's play them at the right positions. Let's play them at the right times. And let's score when we need to. And more importantly, let's play defense against teams that we need to play defense against. Because Mississippi State rushing for all those yards against them, that's not LSU Tigers. That's not LSU at home, okay, in Louisiana. That's not them. And they need to get back to what they're doing and exactly what they do best. But it's LSU. But when we come back, Aaron, for our last segment, I've entitled the Fill Me section. It's going to be good, guys. So tune in. You're listening to the Hurry Up No Huddle with Daryl, JC, and Moon. Welcome back to the Hurry Up No Huddle of Daryl and Aaron Vargas this evening. Aaron, it's time for the You Feel Me segment.
Wait, you are 2 for 2 on my jams. Yeah, Ying Yang Twins last segment.
Absolutely.
And Lil Wayne this segment.
I'm not sure what else to do, but I can say what the faithful of the Montgomery Biscuits listeners, especially for the pregame and going forward to the game, if you listen to this podcast, absolutely, I've pleased Aaron Vargas to the maximum on the bumper music selection.
No question. Well, the Ying Yang Twins and, man, Lil Wayne. I was expecting some Luke Bryan.
Think of me, okay? I'm from Alabama. Dear, you're just a country blumpkin. That's what you're thinking. You're just a straight country guy.
Good old country boy.
That's fine, okay? But I can tell you what, back in my day, okay, yes, I am getting older. It's ridiculous.
Back in your day, like 3 years ago? When was back in your day?
About 5 years ago. I know that's ridiculous. About 5 years ago. I feel like I'm on my sister's age right now. That's just unrealistic, but I feel old, okay?
Man, you're not old.
Dude, I feel old right now, but I want to talk about You Feel Me.
You Feel Me?
And I want to talk about your fantasy team. I want to talk about my fantasy team on the You Feel Me level.
Yeah.
Now, I know that the underachievers, a.k.a. Daryl Puckett's fantasy team, isn't doing too hot right now, but I will say a few things.
Yeah.
Okay. We're 0-3.
Oh.
We're number 2 in scoring points and overall points against, which means points scored against me. Mm-hmm. I'm about 66.5 points ahead of anybody else. That means I've had 66.5 more points scored against me.
Yeah.
Than anybody else in the league.
A little bad luck.
It's a 12-man league, okay? Oh, I'm number 2 in scoring, and I'm 0-3. Now, I've looked in every other category in the coach, in the player by, I guess, week by week segment. They have different categories you can click on. And from my experience, from just observing what these say, Aaron, Daryl's number 1 in these, okay?
You're 0-3, though.
I'm 0-3, but I'm right. But literally,
I know silver lining.
I'm not kidding you. On NFL.com, there's a category called coach. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you click on this, and it breaks it down in every different level there is. And Daryl Puckett, aka the underachievers.
Yeah.
Okay. Is number 1, and that's 0-3. I've never seen that. I've screenshotted it, saved it as a photo, PDF, on my computer, the underachievers number 1 in the coaching category.
That sounds a lot like a 7th place ribbon. nowadays everybody has to get the pat on the back.
Maybe a LeGarrette Blount ribbon, maybe, or something.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's trying really hard. Here's a 7th place ribbon. That's what that sounds like.
Well, Aaron, I can tell you right now that the underachievers are turning around this week.
Oh, okay.
How about your fantasy team? I know a few things have been interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe Larry Donnell this past Thursday have done a few things to you that you didn't like, particularly in the passing game.
Here's my thing about fantasy football. And let me start and say I'm one.
I'll let you start.
I'm 1-2. I'm 1-2. Okay. So I'm going to be completely transparent with you guys out there. I'm 1-2 right now. It might be bitterness.
Wait, Aaron, hold on. You're the voice of the biscuits, okay? You've had mass experience on the professional level. You're 1-2. I'm 0-3. That means I'm one game behind you overall. Yeah. But going forward, what's your complaint about fantasy football?
Here's my thing. I feel like fantasy football, unless you are on the top echelon of being good at fantasy football, I'm talking about those guys who read 11 blogs a day about the third string running back for the Redskins. I'm talking about those guys who are all over the fantasy information.
Well, hold
on. Unless you're on that level.
Hold on now. Those fantasy levels, guys, let's be honest, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe other than Michael Fabiano and Barry, okay?
Yeah.
Those two guys, Matthew Barry and Michael Fabiano, those two guys, other than those two guys, our opinion, let's be honest, are about as same as how we can predict a player that's going to go against a defense in fantasy football going forward. So I don't want to hear any crap about some guy saying that he has this inside info, that he reads the same scouting report about practice that about 15 to 20 million people read. There is no doubt that 50 to 20 people, million people read that. You don't have inside info, okay? Anybody, it's your opinion of what you think is going to happen. That's fantasy football. That's how you win a league. And might I add that I am a former league champion about 2 years ago. I will say that in a standard league, if the listeners understand what the standard league is compared to the PPR. But Aaron, explain, I guess the listeners, your Biscuits Baseball, which I didn't get invited to, by the way, on a side note. I'm not gonna be butthurt about that, but on a side note, explain to how the Biscuits Baseball Fantasy Football League works.
Well, it is a standard scoring league, so PPR, it's point per reception.
Yeah, it's weird, whatever.
So we don't get a point per reception, which I think detracts a little bit from the quality of the league.
But, absolutely.
But anyway, my thing with fantasy football, and again, being transparent, I'm 1-2. It might be the bitterness talking. There is so much luck involved with fantasy football. Listen, you can make the right decision in fantasy football and get burned on it.
Absolutely.
Niles Paul. Redskins tight end.
Let's look at Larry Donald, too.
Exactly. That's what I'm going with. Paul has been he's a targeted receiver all the time for the Redskins. So he's a guy that you want to pick up. So I picked him up. I played him. He gets headhunted in whatever quarter it was, gets his head knocked off, misses the whole second half, and he gets, 7-8 points, which is okay. It's not bad. I had Jason Witten, which is better than him.
He got 9 points in my league, whatever. I'm not going to complain.
But then you have the Donald guy, the 11th string tight end for the Giants, and he goes off for 3 touchdowns.
Stop, Aaron. I have a headache right now as we're going through what Donald did last night with Eli Manning. Explain to what he did on the fantasy circle. I am flabbergasted to go over what happened.
Well, here's with the Giants. First of all, Donald got 3 touchdown passes.
In the first half.
Three touchdown catches. So that's ridiculous in its own sense. The Giants are a team that the first couple of weeks in the season looked terrible. They look worse than the Bucks. Their offense looked terrible. But what they've done now is they've stopped throwing the deep ball because that offensive line for the Giants is not good. So if you're looking at a 7-step drop for Eli, he's not going to have time. He can't throw the football down.
It's like a 3-step drop right now.
Exactly. Everything is quick. Victor Cruz, who's a guy who doesn't have the size to be an outside receiver, but you can almost use him like a slot guy by doing short little routes, and that's exactly what the Giants are doing right now. So if you have Victor Cruz, if you have whatever his name is, go with them because the Giants offensively—
Larry Donald, I'll let you know. I should have picked him up.
I should have picked him up too, and hindsight's
20-20. But now as Paul was, it's such an overall better tight end.
And that's my point with fantasy football. Unless you're on the top echelon of inside information, which not many people
are. Absolutely.
I think it's luck because Paul was the right choice. I went with Paul, and I was not successful because Donald gets 30 points or whatever
Aaron,
it was
question
because he
catches
three touchdowns.
Did you pick up Dwayne Allen?
No.
This week?
I did not.
Okay, well, you lost. I picked him up. Okay, 0-3, number two in scoring, number one against points, going against me.
Yeah.
Okay, I picked up Dwayne Allen. I feel pretty confident since Niles Paul got, oh, my God, just just destroyed on a play in the second quarter. Head towards the end of the half, got destroyed. But I will say I feel good going towards the fantasy season. As I said, I am league champion. I don't know about you, Mike. Have you ever won a league championship?
I have my first time ever playing fantasy football.
How many years have you played,
football? That was 4 years ago.
Okay, first, I played about 7-8 years. I've won one.
See, I never played fantasy football until late in my college career, mm-hmm. and I won. I bought one of the magazines. I studied really hard. I took AP first overall.
Okay.
I was the commissioner of the league, so I gave myself the first pick. So I feel like
that's fair.
I feel like that's fair. and AP took me to the championship, and I won that. And ever since then, I have not.
Is that 2 years
again.
Ago?
No. That was 4 years ago.
Okay. So about 4 years ago, he had a great season. 2 years ago, he had a great season. He came with the ACL surgery.
Yeah.
And he came and like, he didn't get drafted in my league until like the sixth round.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mistake.
That's how much disrespect AP got.
Can't deal that disrespect.
Now,
I know.
I'm not going to get into the, you know, legal situation of what he's doing.
That's touchy.
We're going to put that to the side, okay? But I will say that if you own Matt Asiata, you've done something. Because this guy is carrying the rock right now in Minnesota.
The Vikings backup?
Well, Matt Asiata, like I said. I know that's a difficult name that Asiata. I'm actually able to.
You said that flawlessly.
I felt confident
in
pronouncing his name. I know during the Biscuits broadcast, I've had a few questions. Nonstop, every and each and every pregame show, like Aaron. I don't know how to say Segovia's name.
Spanish is a tough language.
Dude,
it's tough.
I tell you what, those guys from Venezuela and like just different countries like that blow my mind sometimes. I give you credit. I'm working towards getting better at the minor league level.
Yeah.
But let's focus at the AUMNAIA level right now, okay? Because that's what I'm trying to get ready to call.
Yeah.
And you're helping me do that. I'm spotting for you right now in high school football.
Yeah.
For Tuscaloosa County. And I'm learning for every opportunity that I get. But overall, looking in fantasy season, I'm looking strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It's a guy, Aaron, who I'm playing this week, is my boss at the printing shop, Pro Legal Copies of Montgomery, who's our main sponsor. we're in the POC studios, Aaron.
It's been a long night, folks.
It's been a long night. I've had a long day, very long day at the office. Lawyers out there in downtown Montgomery.
Ooh.
They don't have an agenda, I can tell you that. They run it all night long. And, hey, look, you know, if I get paid for it, I'm okay with it, okay? Because I don't make a lot of money, Aaron.
Make
I can
it rain.
Tell you what. Make it rain with about the $130 a month I make. But I'm happy with it. Okay, I can tell you that, you know. Gaining experience, doing what I love.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's what I do. But
success comes from the inside.
You know, Aaron, do you feel me? That's what I'm looking at in this segment. You feel me on that?
I feel you.
But what are your closing thoughts going towards this segment and this show, which, by the way, thank you for coming on to the Hurry Up No Huddle of Daryl, JC, and Moon. Minus the JC and Moon, I keep saying that. This is the second episode. I promise viewership that we'll get JC and Moon back.
They'll
I know
back.
Y'all love their input. Plus, Aaron Vargas.
Yeah,
I feel like that four-way, which I do have a mixer that has four inputs in it. It'll be crazy. I know.
It's coming.
I know.
Someday.
Feel it. This mixer's going to be crazy, okay? But, Aaron, what are your closing thoughts moving towards a fantasy season and the SEC West and East, or just whatever you want to think? What's moving forward in college football and fantasy season for you?
Well, you know, I want to talk about fantasy and the SEC. The SEC is up in the air right now. There's so many good teams in that conference. And for all those people out there that keep on, they want to argue that the SEC is not the top conference in the nation, just stop it, please. Just stop it. The SEC West can take on any conference in the country. So just please just stop it with those.
Okay.
With fantasy football.
I'll stop, whatever.
With fantasy football. I'm going to go. I'm 1-2, so I think it's luck. Listen, if it's skill involved, I would be winning. Let's
wait,
be
Aaron,
honest.
How many points did Victor Cruz score for you?
He got like 13, 14, 15, something like that.
Better than Niles Paul. We got knocked out in the second quarter. Whatever. Continue. I'm sorry.
So with fantasy, since I'm 1-2, it's luck. It's not skill. But let's, for the final thoughts, I know this is the hurry up, no huddle, and it's a football segment. But I really want to finish up with Derek Jeter. All right, this guy, you and
give
I got
to
a chance.
I love this, right?
We got a chance to listen to the ESPN radio, Boog Shambi, Chris Singleton, the radio call of Derek Jeter's walk-off single in his last home game. And listen, there's been so, like, Oberman or whatever his name is on ESPN talking about how Jeter's not as good as everybody. Come on, just please.
Yeah, dude. Please, shut up.
Please, exactly.
Stop.
Get away from the mic.
Get over there. Let's listen to how good Jeter is.
Exactly.
And his legacy.
This is a guy who transcends even the game. This is one of the most important athletes in all of sports because he is this entire career in New York, in a place where every single day there
criticized
is pressure.
Every day.
But this guy, when you look at all the problems with the NFL, you look at Derek Jeter, and there's never been one single off-the-field problem. He's had the high-profile girlfriends and all that stuff, but as far as problems, there's never been everything.
Maybe Mila Kunis?
Maybe so.
She's
Mariah
hot,
Carey.
Whatever.
With Derek Jeter, I don't know if there's an athlete. I'm going to go ahead and say it. There is not an athlete in any professional sport that rises to the occasion like Derek Jeter.
I can't argue with that.
Michael Jordan, I don't care. Nobody rises to the occasion like Derek Jeter. You
Aaron,
go back to
explain
earlier.
Explain what we listened to over air on Jeter's last at bat at Yankee Stadium. And when you compare that to Michael Jordan, the hype of that, about how Jeter does what he does, explain what happened we listened to last time.
Going into the top of the ninth inning, the Yankees were leading by 2 runs. The Orioles score 2 runs.
On 2 solo home runs.
Exactly. So
nuts.
Force a bottom of the ninth.
If right off Robertson. Right off Robertson.
A top a guy who has been outstanding this year.
Absolutely.
If this was a movie, I would have told you, don't watch it because it's so unrealistic.
Hey,
that could never happen
in
real
life. You give me a price and I buy it.
It's unbelievable. Two runs in the top of the ninth inning. They force the bottom of the ninth. Jeter comes up with a man on second and one out, a chance to drive in the winning run in his last home game ever, one of the best Yankees to ever play the game. And he singles into right field, not just in any other single where he yanks it, but a Jeter-type inside-out single to right field, drives in the game-winning run. I mean, this is a storyline that writers would not write because it's too unrealistic, but it happened in real life.
2 for 5 with 3 RBIs, Jeter. Jeter, I tell you what was so, it's just so obvious, Jeter, okay? Pitch outside. It's a thing that guys in high school learn, in middle school, in little league. If a pitch is outside, Aaron, where do you take it?
Take it to right field
you
if you're a right-handed hitter.
You take it outside, baby, if you're a right-hander hitter. You know, you take it outside, and Jeter, what does he do?
Inside he takes out, take it to right.
Right past first and second base.
Yep.
Tell me, what did your dad text you right before that at bat happened?
He said Jeter's gonna walk off. He didn't
Absolutely.
Say single. Jeter's gonna walk off. My dad texted me that. And this is a guy that I'm telling you, when the moment is big, he is the only guy that gets bigger. There are certain guys that the game slows down and they can get it done in clutch time. But Derek Jeter literally gets better when the game is on the line. You go back to earlier this season when he's looking for his 3,000th hit. Colin Cowherd did an excellent segment on this.
Cowherd's the man.
He is the man.
Yeah.
And you go into this. It's leading into the All-Star break. There's a couple of games left before the break at home at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees open up the second half on the road. Yankee fans want Jeter to get 3,000 at home. So we go into that series. It's a Saturday. Jeter needs 2 hits to get 3,000. And his 3,000th hit off of David Price, one of the best left-handed pitchers in the game,
Absolutely.
Is a home run. And not even past that, he goes 5 for 5 in the game. His last hit is a game-winning hit that leads the Yankees to victory. He's a guy that's postseason average is above 360.
Okay.
Derek Jeter is a guy that literally, when the game is on the line, he gets better. Not just good enough to win. He gets better than his normal self.
I can tell you two guys right now that I think of the captain. Derek Jeter, Cal Ripken Jr. Those two guys right there carry their teams, okay? And those two guys right there played through injuries, through whatever, you know, that was thrown their way, and played the game. Now, Jeter coming into his last series, okay, of his career against, of course, against the Boston Red Sox, which is pretty ironic, but he's going to be in Boston, he's going to be in Fenway. He's not going to play short. He's just going to hit, which kind of makes me sad, to be honest, because I kind of want to see the guy play short again, because, you know, even the guy at 30 now, what is he, 40 years old?
Close.
Yeah, he's 39, 40. He's right there, Jeter in his age. But see, the guy played shortstop. He's probably in the top 10 playing shortstop at 40 years old, you know, if not right there. So that makes me kind of sad, because I want to ever see him play shortstop again. And I grew up a Reds, then Yankees fan because of my stepdad. So, you know, I watched a lot of Yankees game. Aaron Boone walk off against Tim Wakefield against the Boston Red Sox in those extra inning games to put him in the World Series, which lost to Dontrelle Willis of the Marlins.
Dontrelle. D-Train.
Dude, the D-Train was the guy back in the day. I can tell you that back in 2003. But
so that's really my final thought with it. One quick thing. Derek Jeter, whether you're a baseball fan, whether you're a Yankee fan, it doesn't matter. If you're a sports fan
in general,
you have to respect what Derek Jeter has done. I don't like the Yankees. I can say I hate the Yankees. I've never liked them. It's not even a respect of Derek Jeter. I like Derek Jeter. I love what he's done for the game. And it's going to be tough to see next year the Yankees without Derek Jeter. This is one of the all-time greats in Derek Jeter.
I can tell you one thing, Aaron. I started off by this episode by saying it's going to be a short, quick episode.
Sorry,
but
we lied.
It is quickly escalating to the longest episode we've had on the Hurry Up and Ohio.
I like listening to myself talk. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's fine with me, because I can tell you what. Is that your influence on my life going forward in play-by-play? I thought I was going to start off in journalism. No. Daryl's going to try to start off in play-by-play, which might not work. But we're going to start off in it because of yours and I probably say Charlie Trotman and Doug Amos' overall influence in my life. But it's been great, man. I can tell you what, Derek Jeter moving forward has got to be – Gabby in the top 2 or 3 overall shortstops in game of baseball. Maybe Honest Wagner topping at number one just because, dang gummit, I don't think anybody remembering, you know, actually that guy playing. But if you go on eBay and look at his baseball card, you understand his value Honest Wagner. But Aaron, it has been a pleasure. I can tell you that really overall going this episode, and I totally appreciate you coming on with us. Minus the JC and Moon, I promise you that we'll get the JC and Moon eventually. I know I hear the outro music.
Yep. We're out of time. We are out of time.
We're almost out of time. But I can tell you, moving forward in the season, Aaron, that baseball is about to end, but we see Derek Jeter ended a great career. It's been a pleasure, me, my whole life growing up, and yours probably as well, watching this guy play and seeing what he's doing to create examples for youth going forward into baseball. And be honest, you know, if I was a youth right now, I'd look at Derek Jeter and see how the captain himself has done to go forward to how to play the game.
With all the issues in professional sports this day with the NFL and all that stuff, Derek Jeter is a guy you can look at him and say, you look at his past, and everybody makes mistakes, but Derek Jeter professionally never made a mistake off the field. And that's something. He never got thrown out of a major league game. And as many
how incredible intense, is that, Aaron?
Exactly. Intense situations in Major League Baseball, all the pennant races. This is the first year that he ever played games at Yankee Stadium without postseason influences.
Morally, how crazy you have to be not to just go nuts and cuss at the umpire.
It's unbelievable. Derek Jeter is a guy, he's a role model that I don't know if we'll ever see again in this day and age. Derek Jeter will be missed. I'll miss seeing him play. And it does, it makes me feel old to see, to think that Derek Jeter is not going to be in the Yankees lineup day in and day out in 2015.
I think the next guy may be Aaron, as we close the show and end it, as in our longest show in the Hurry of No Huddle, is Mike Trout. I see this guy maybe, and that's a very short maybe, because there's not very, you know, there's very few members, guys of baseball that can compete as Derek Jeter did.
You hope, you know, L.A. is a huge market, but New York is such a unique market, even different than L.A., that when a guy doesn't play in New York, it's just a little bit different. And because Jeter did it in the Bronx, it's that much more special.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we appreciate you listening to Hurry Up No Huddle with Daryl, J.C., and Moon, minus the J.C. and Moon, plus Aaron Vargas this evening. We appreciate you listening. You listen to Hurry Up No Huddle.